Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports, the podcast where comedians talk sports. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Comedy Sports Pod. Give myself a follow. That's at Joe Kilgallen. Also on Facebook, throw it a like. Comedians Talking Sports with Joe Kilgallen. Just search it. You'll find it. Give it a like. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. We're also on the Punch Drunk Sports Comedy Network. That's punchdrunksports.com. You'll find this podcast as well as a plethora of other podcasts. Oh, always nice when you get the word plethora into a sentence. Now, listen, this is a little late. Coming to you late, a couple days late, and it's also a solo podcast. It's just me. Here's the thing, everybody. When you have an infant baby and your wife is going through orientation where she's working way more hours than normal until she's on her set schedule, kind of throws off some stuff. Also, summer in Chicago, things are coming at me in different directions. I apologize. That's on me. I already have my next guest lined up for next week, so it's no more screwing up. Actually, got my guests lined up for the next few weeks, so we'll be back on it, getting the podcast out to you regularly. Want to thank everyone for listening to the last few podcasts. You can check those out, joekilgallen.com/podcast. iTunes, write us a review. It goes a long way. All right, I'm speeding. I'm going fast right now because I'm worried about battery. I'm also recording this in my car. It's a Toyota Camry. I know. It's a wonderful vehicle. Reliable. Safe. It's there for you when you need it. Coming back from a couple shows I did at the House of Blues, in which I took the blue line, because parking down there is a nightmare, came back to where I parked my car by a certain blue line stop. I'm not going to tell you which one, because I don't want you guys to navigate and figure out where I'm living. Got to keep some stuff secret. I'm on the northwest side somewhere. Anyway, and now I'm in my car. I had my podcast equipment in my backpack, in my trunk, and I'm going to try to record this, and I'm worried that the battery's going to go out any minute, because I've been using an adapter lately, because I'm too lazy to buy batteries. We're all too lazy. And here's my move. I get free drinks at comedy shows. I've upped it to Stella's when I'm not drinking because you get a little more alcohol and it's a solid beer. Feeling it though. But I'm feeling good, feeling loose, feeling angry, feeling annoyed because I'm listening to The Score in Chicago Sports Radio, 670 AM. I love it. I'm going to give it a plug again. My boy Herb Lawrence, he was on the podcast two podcasts ago. I like a lot of their people. I'm not liking people calling in or what I'm seeing on Twitter in regards to my Chicago Cubs. So I'm going to lead off with some baseball talk. I'll try to keep it a little national too, but It's a good topic that I'm sure a lot of fans of baseball have dealt with their team or with certain players in one way or another. The Cubs dropped a game today to the Washington Nationals, 6-1, splitting the first two games of the series. A four-game set, as far as I know. I believe it's a four-game. Maybe it's a three-game. Either way, win tomorrow would be nice. Take 2 out of 3, or you split it. No time off the calendar, or just time off the calendar at that point. Now, the Cubs are only one game over .500. They've been disappointing in that sense. Yeah, it's been a letdown. Last year at the time, they were like 49 and 20-something. They were killing it. The runaway with the division, up on the leaderboards and everything as far as a team goes statistically. I am not freaking out. I'm not. The team's a little different this year. Yeah, World Series hangover, blah, blah, blah. There's a couple guys who are aged quickly, a little surprisingly, because this wasn't a Cubs team that had a small window. This wasn't like that 07, 08 team where it's like, oh, please just let's get a little lucky in the playoffs, please. We're very old. We're frail. I mean, everyone's in their 30s on this team. Now, this Cubs base is super young. Pitching, old. Lackey signed to a 2-year deal before last year. He's actually looked okay of late, but still, this is the second year of that deal. He's 38, 39. He's looking his age. The contract already worth it because, you know, he didn't come here for a haircut, as he said. He got that jewelry. We got our ring. He was fine last year as the fourth starter. This year, it's been ugly. Jake Arrieta is looking like a guy who should be your fourth starter. Even then, you're like, eh. Arrieta, it's like, man. I'm not going to be one of those guys that just says, oh, he had 2 good years. No, because in 2014, he was phenomenal. He only made 25 starts, so he didn't pop up on any leaderboards, but he was fantastic. He was second in FIP that year. He had a top 5 ERA. Record, who cares about records with pitchers? It's a stupid stat. Read Brian Kenny's book, Ahead of the Curve. Highly endorse it. But strikeout rate, amazing. Hard to get a hit off of. Very low opponent's batting average against. Guy was phenomenal. So 2014, great year. 2015, we all know, Cy Young, 1.77 ERA, 0.89 whip. FIP was low. Everything was great about him. 2016, falls a little bit off, but still a top 10 pitcher in the league. By every metric, a top 10 pitcher. So 3 great years right there. I'm getting the low battery alert. This sucks. Ugh. All right, sorry. I'm racing against time right now. And also, anyone looking out their windows is going to be like, why is this guy talking to a microphone in his car? It's strange. He was still really good last year. So that's three good seasons. Now he's looking, everyone's like, oh, we got Baltimore, Jake. We got the Oriole, Jake Arrieta again, blah, 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 blah. It's unfortunate. It's a contract year. I don't know if it's in his head. Velocity's down. That could be an arm thing. I don't know. He also had that very unorthodox thorn across his body thing. So, yeah, he looks bad. I'm equating it. You ever read the book Flowers for Algernon? You guys should read Flowers for Algernon. I've used this analogy before when I said going from George W. Bush to Barack Obama to Trump is like the plot to Flowers for Algernon. It's about a man who's mentally challenged. He's slow. They start giving him pills. It's almost like that Limitless movie thing, but that guy wasn't slow. He was just lazy. So they start giving this treatment, and he becomes a genius, speaking eight languages. He knows everything. He's suave. He's got women for the first time in his life, all this stuff. It's a wonderful book. Then it starts to wear off, and he goes back to becoming handicapped, mentally challenged again. And it's depressing, actually, at the end. But you go from slow to genius to this. And that's what Jake Arrieta's career is starting to mirror. He went from this, oh, he's got a great arm. He just can't figure it out. He's wild. There's all this in Baltimore to he pairing up with Chris Bosio, who I think is a fantastic pitching coach for the Cubs. He's really had a lot of reclamation projects and has really turned around many a career, or at least improved on what they were doing wrong. And now he's back to dipping, and it's like, oh, what a bummer. I figured this would have been a great year for him. I figured he was going to look great, and it made me have confidence in the Cubs repeating, and then the Cubs would let him walk because his best years are behind him. Theo Epstein doesn't pay for your past. He pays for your future. That's why he's Theo Epstein. Now he's been looking bad. ERA is probably close to 5. He's probably costing himself close to $100 million by the end of the season, because he was looking like a guy who was going to get, I mean, Lester signed for $655. This guy was looking at $680, flirting with $200 million if he would have put together another season like 2016 or 2015. Now, I mean, some team will be stupid enough to pay him. We know that. But he's costing himself tens of millions of dollars with each passing start. After the game today, a game in which the Cubs lost 6-1, and I think all 5 or 6 runs were charged to Jake, the Nationals stole 7 bases. That's bad. Don't need to tell you that. Miguel Montero is the catcher. Miguel Montero has been bad in regard to throwing out runners. Now, his batting average is up this year. His plate appearances have been better overall. He's working the count. He's drawing more walks. OPS is all right. He's been a very good backup catcher, a nice lefty bat. I've been okay with his season offensively. Defensively, I haven't liked him since halfway into 2015. First half of 2015, he looked all right, and then he started to just look like, all right, this looks like a catcher on the back end of his career. These guys hit 30 and they look like they're 38. That's just how it goes. I don't know his age, probably 34. He starts running his mouth at the game, going, oh, it's all on me. It comes up in my stats, which really sucks because what am I supposed to do when this guy's slow as hell to the mound? You know, he's taking a sweet ass time, this guy. He his leg kick, he's up there for an hour and a half talking to himself. And, you know, obviously I'm exaggerating here, but, you know, Jake's up there. He's slow as shit. What am I supposed to do back there? Meanwhile, Montero, what you're supposed to do, you can't say, he kept saying, oh, but I'll take the blame. No, you don't get to say, but I'll take the blame after you throw your pitcher under the bus for 7 minutes in a rant. That's not how that works. That's like every racist you see at a bar going, but I have black friends, and then they say something horrific. That's around the same type of, obviously I'm stretching it a little bit here, but that's that same thought mentality where it's, no, I'll take the blame. Sure, you want to blame me? That's fine. Yeah, it's my fault. Meanwhile, this piece of shit's lobbing the ball to me. He might as well be throwing underhand. It's going so slow, and his delivery takes forever, and he's boring me back there, and that's why I'm not throwing runners out. Meanwhile, your pop time is the worst in the league. You're not Wilson Contreras, and I'm sure last year that was a huge blow to your ego as Wilson Contreras took control of the catcher position. And really, Montero, you were the third best catcher on a team. Here's what happens to the third best catcher on most teams. Third in AAA. You were lucky that Joe Madden is a guy that likes to just throw different lineups out there all the time and mix it up, which I think really helped the Cubs, and I think is a genius move. And I almost equate it to, you know, on this podcast before I talked about how if we're comparing eras in the NBA, you got to take note that NBA players nowadays will take days off. Their coaches give them the day off, even though they're completely healthy. Popovich started it. LeBron has been doing it a lot. I mean, the whole Cavs team would do that. I have several starts where Love, Kyrie, and LeBron would take a seat. I like the strategy. I think it's a genius strategy. I think when comparing NBA statistics, you got to put that out there, though. In baseball, it's not done as often. it should be done more. I always thought Cal Ripken's streak and Lou Gehrig's performance was kind of like, all right, they played a lot of games in a row, but would they have played a little bit better if they'd taken the occasional day off? Would the numbers been better? Perhaps. So, I mean, yeah, Iron Man, that's cool. That's great. But I want production. Now, cute little bunny just right by my car. That's nice. See, I'm kind of out in nature now that I'm doing this in the front seat of my car. Now, with Montero, with the way Joe Mannen does it, is he gives days off, which I'm okay with because the Cubs have those day games. It kept them fresh. Every Cub player in the past, for those of you around the country listening, the Chicago Cubs notoriously played the most day games because of neighborhood ordinances and the fact that they didn't even get lights until 1988. Now that they're playing more and more night games now, but it's still not quite the level of every other team in baseball. Major baseball players will say, no, the day games wear on us a little bit. Some, like Andre Dawson, famously liked day games. It rejuvenated him. But anyway, I'm going to take the players' word for it. It's tough on them. I don't know. They're out drinking. They're boozing it up. They're slump busting. I don't know. Slump busting is a reference to Mark Grace, who would famously find the ugliest girl in the bar, have sex with her, bust out of a slump. I don't know if it works. Try it in your own life. Write to me. I want to hear about it. It's I liked it, but Montero was the third catcher. That's how he was able to make the playoff roster. Him and Jake were starting to have a little bit of a rapport toward the end of the season, too. Fine. Well, Contreras is a rookie. David Ross is Lester's guy. David Ross is also David Ross. People love him. And he had a solid year last year. He really did. He had like 7 or 8 home runs, pretty much only starting one game a week. And he was big in the playoffs. And he's in his clutch. He had playoff experience, too. So Montero, after the parade, he's interviewed, I don't know if it was on The Score or ESPN 1000 locally in Chicago, starts going off about how he didn't like the way Madden handled him this year and the communication was bad and I'm better than this and I should have played more, blah, blah, blah. Then they made up in spring training like I knew they would. Montero's one more year on his deal. They wouldn't have gotten any value out of him anyway. The way I see it right now is he's actually hitting a little bit. So maybe something could have happened if they did want to pull the trigger on it. But, you know, what could you have really gotten anyway? Maybe a mid-level prospect at best. But now that he's running his mouth, teams are going to know. I almost just think designate him for assignment. We got this Victor Candidini guy who, you know, if I had a few Stellos in me, I would be able to pronounce his name correctly, or at least attempt a better attempt than that one, who's a switch hitter, who's killing it right now at AAA, and he's young, he's 24, 25. I think he's got to be better defensively than Miguel Montero. I mean, softball catchers in 16-inch leagues in Chicago have better pop time than this dude. Like, I mean, you know, not to stereotype Miguel Montero, but he looks like this old chubby catcher. I don't know if it's stereotyping catchers. Don't think I'm stereotyping Hispanic players. I'm not, okay? Because Contreras is Hispanic, and that dude is fit as a fiddle, as some might say. Another expression I've never used, but I'm trying to wrap this up and be quick about you because there's a few other things. I want to get to Jimmy Butler and some NBA rumors right now and touch a little bit more on McGregor, Mayweather, even though I might ditch that because the battery's probably going to die, and you're going to hear about it a lot from now until August 26th. Anyway, about 13 minutes, and I'm getting the low battery alert more. You don't throw teammates under the bus, especially this way, especially the teammates who, like Arrieta got interviewed before all this. Look, I'm not freaking out that much about the Cubs because we're only one game out still. We're one game over 500, but only one game out of first place. Do I think we need to make a trade? Yes. Theo Epstein came out today saying no trades for a rental. I agree with that. Don't trade for a rental. I would like to trade for like a Chris Archer guy who's got another 3 years left on his deal after this year and a deal in which I think is pretty favorable. I think it's like 18 to 20 million per the next few years, which for a guy of that stature who's like top five in WAR in the AL, yeah, I want it. He's got familiarity with Madden as it is, knows how he likes to work. I like Chris Archer's stuff. Strikeout guy, youth of him, Lester and Hendricks, who assuming he comes back healthy, looks like he did last year in the second half because Hendricks got some finger thing going on right now. Hendricks was starting to look pretty good though. He got off to a shaky start his first 4 or 5 outings. And then we're starting to, you know, be back to the Hendricks of last year. I still like Lester. His ERA is a little north of 3.5 right now, but he's pitching better than some of the numbers show. He just got out of his first inning or whatever. If he keeps giving up runs in the first inning, I think that's a big thing with him. Maybe a little prep time now that he's a little older. He's going to start getting out there a little bit earlier. I don't know. I like Lester. All right. Clearly the battery died like I said it would, so it's going to be a little awkward. Last night, I was recording the podcast in my car, and here it is a whole other day. And I didn't have batteries, and I couldn't charge my Zoom H4N in my car. So anyway, that's why it's awkward. I think I was talking about wanting the Cubs to trade for someone like Chris Archer. I was going on and on about the Miguel Montero situation, what the Cubs need to do, only being one game out of first place. And I was saying I was getting annoyed with so many people acting like the sky was falling. I still think the Cubs are going to have a big second half. Are they playing mediocre baseball? Yes. Did the pitching staff get old real quick? Sure. Like I mentioned, Jake Arrieta talked about his career in depth. But let's forget that for a second here. I could talk about what kind of trade package I think it would take for the Cubs to get an ace like a Chris Archer. Chris Archer is really the guy I want. Sonny Gray, I don't know. He had a really awful year last year. The season this year is better. His FIP looks all right. His ERA is still in the Forbes, but that, you know, behind a good defense, that would lower. Strikeout per nine innings. I think he's like nine per. So he's like averaging a K an inning. So that's pretty solid. I could live with that. And then, you know, coming from the American League, National League, the National League hitters will take some time to adjust. So for the second half of this year, at least, he'll have the advantage. And he's team controlled. It's a good contract. All that jazz. What happened now? So, like, this is going to be kind of weird for you guys listening to this, because you listening to this know what happened already, but you got to hear me ramble for about 13, 14 minutes without knowing. But today, the Chicago Cubs have cut Miguel Montero. DFA, designated for assignment, is the term they use in Major League Baseball, but they cut his ass. Let's call a spade a spade. I don't know why they don't just say, yeah, we cut him. Like, just, yeah, make it like high school. It's like when politicians say, well, what you said was a falsehood. No, call him a liar. He's a liar. He lied. He's a liar. You cut him. Miguel Montero, peace. That's what happened there. It got to the point where I remember thinking they should get rid of him. They should do something. I didn't think it would happen this quickly. I didn't. I liked the move, though. Let me tell you why. But first, let me tell you what made me think, oh, it's definitely going to happen, and it's happening today. This morning, it's Wednesday here. It's Wednesday, June 28th right now. I started recording last night on the 27th, or it was after midnight, so it might have been early this morning. And Anthony Rizzo was on ESPN 1000 in Chicago and basically called Montero a selfish player for throwing his teammate Jake Arrieta under the bus. He kind of referenced to the comments Montero made the day of the Cubs parade where he said he wasn't happy with his playing time. So kind of saying, oh, this is kind of what this guy does. This isn't just an out-of-the-blue thing. He's got a little bit of a history now. And basically said, hey, we got another catcher on the team. This is almost a direct quote. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but this is basically what he said. He said, the other catcher on this team throws everybody out. So kind of like, what's your excuse? You're a selfish player. We're 25 people who we win together, we lose together. And, you know, I don't like any of that. Anthony Rizzo, he's like the captain. I mean, there's no captain on the Cubs. He doesn't have a C on his jersey. Well, he does have a C on his jersey because of the Cubs. But, you know, I like what JD, the Cubs color guy, calls him. He calls him the main ingredient. I agree with that. Anthony Rizzo, he's the straw that stirs the drink, to steal Reggie Jackson's quote. He's you know, he puts the Italian beef, as a funny comedian once said on WGN. I'm talking about myself. I was on WGN just before the NLCS, and I said that, and people seemed to like it. Okay. Now, I saw those comments. Excuse me. I read those comments on Twitter. I didn't get to hear the audio, but I'm like, okay, something's got to give right now because they're not going to allow this. And then I hear, like, 30 minutes later, he's gone. They're cutting him, and I'm like, wow. You know what? Hats off to Theo and Jed, the Cubs front office, because I like that. Because this is the season in which it's like, hey, we've been playing under expectations. Now I almost feel like it's weird to say that getting rid of someone who, I'm sure he had some friends on the team. They seem like a group of guys. I'm sure there's a lot of people like, oh, that sucks, Miggy's gone. But, you know, hey. But I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like, all right, we're a team. 25, let's go. Like a little more focus. I don't know if the Cubs were lackadaisical at times or just didn't quite have that bite. You know, you get that 108-year monkey off your back. I could see the hangover lasting a little bit longer because the party lasted longer. I know that I'm still riding the emotional roller coaster from seeing the Cubs win the World Series. This is something that people told me would never, ever happen. People my whole life, never going to happen. They're going to break your heart. They'll blow it. Cubs are going to choke. Cubs, you know what Cubs stands for? Completely useless by September. Said some dick from the South Side. Anyhow, and I was like, all right. You know, I kept saying, never say never. It's stupid to believe that. I never liked the idea of just because the Cubs in 1969 choked meant that they were going to always choke. I never got that. It's different human beings happen to be wearing the same, similar uniform to another group of human beings, decades apart. Stupid. It's stupid reasoning. And then when the Cubs won, man, I once a week I'll watch a bunch of highlight videos. I don't know, something about highlights to music, and I get teary-eyed. I get a little choked up. It's still. I'm still on the hangover. So why wouldn't the players be a little bit on that? And it sounds like I'm making excuses for them. And maybe I am. Maybe so what? That's part of my fandom. I get to do that. They did something that no one thought was possible. They did it in dramatic fashion. It was the best, most exciting World Series of my lifetime. Not just saying that because the Cubs won. I know people who don't even like baseball came up to me going, "Damn, that was awesome." It was great for baseball, which is probably why baseball's juicing the balls now. It's like, hey, we got some momentum here. Let that, you know, chicks dig the long ball from that old 90s ads, which everyone digs the long ball. It's the long ball. It's sexy. Home runs are sexy. You know what else is sexy? A good safety squeeze, which I tweeted about the other day. All right, so the Cubs moving forward now have brought up Victor. I've mentioned him before. Victor Candidini. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I need to hear an actual professional pronounce it. Then I will copy off of them and sound like a professional myself. That's how you do it. You cheat off the smartest kid in class. Switch hitting catcher, tearing up AAA. On base percentage near 400. Slugging in the mid 5. So he's got like almost a 950 OPS. Batting 340. Switch hitter. Only 23 years old. A lot to like about this guy. Converted from a third baseman. A lot of these converted catchers seem to do really well in the pros. I don't know if it's you get worn out being a high school player or bad coaching at the high school level for catchers. So, you know, when the ones who do make it to the next level just kind of, you know, pitter-patter away, they fade away. And so a lot of these guys, like Wilson Contreras was converted. Unless you're a Molina where you're just, it's in your bloodline where it's like, here's a chest protector for your first birthday. I don't know what it takes to be a catcher. Because when I was growing up, most people didn't want to catch. We just didn't. Because if you were a good athlete and you were really fast, you wanted to run around. You wanted to play shortstop or center field. You wanted to use those legs. So, but then in high school, they got those some tougher guys, those Pudge-type dudes. They started coming around. They liked the idea of being able to, like, pick someone off. I think they liked having their helmet on backwards, coming out to the mound and being like, dude, let's get together. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Let's get together. And then you pat your pitcher on the butt. I think they enjoyed that, those dudes. All right, so that's what's wrapped up there. I probably should have listened to my first 13 minutes of rambling so I could have rolled right into what I wanted to say and, you know, polish it off nicely. But this is what you're going to get out of it. I'm a stay-at-home dad basically right now who's, you know, doesn't have as much spare time because I got to get my son on a napping schedule, which is very difficult to do because, again, we've only been back in Chicago for, has it been almost 2 months now? It'll be close to 2 months, like 7 weeks. And, you know, I got people who want to come by and see the little lad, so getting a little tied up with that stuff. So I apologize. But I told you earlier in the podcast, my next 2 weeks are going to roll out. So the podcast will be back on schedule coming out every Monday. And again, thanks for listening. Subscribe on iTunes. Write a review. It goes a long way. I can't emphasize that enough. I appreciate all the love and support, guys. All right, another big move. Switching sports. NBA. Chris Paul has been traded from the Clippers to the Houston Rockets. And I got to say, I'm a little disappointed. You know, I mean, I guess it was nice that they did a sign and trade of some loyalty to the Clippers. I don't know. Or he just told the Clippers, I want to go to Houston. I don't know all the details of it exactly, but I thought Chris Paul was going to be a San Antonio Spur. I was hoping they would work it out where they could free up some cap space and maybe figure out a way to get him. Mainly because I don't think adding Chris Paul, who even at the age of, what is he, 32 going on 33? I think he's LeBron's age, maybe a year older, year younger. I just don't see him being all that much of a difference for Houston. I think he'll still get his numbers. He's a solid defensive player. Yeah, it was all NBA defense first team. Oh yeah, the awards came out. They did all the sports are doing award shows now. I don't know. Did the NHL start that? I remember the NHL doing it in Vegas a few years ago, but now the NBA does it. Which is like it's everything's an award show. We got the Oscars, the Grammys. I didn't watch any of it. Because I knew who was going to win most of the awards. Draymond Green, I had a strong feeling was going to be Defensive Player of the Year. I knew Russell Westbrook was taking MVP. So I didn't really care to watch it. I had other things going on. I was watching the Cubs, I think, and checking out some other things. I don't know. Was Drake good? Is Drake funny? Why not just get a comedian to do it? As a comedian, yes, I'm biased. But we're funnier than everyone else. Have a good stand-up do it. Kevin Hart? Oh, he probably can't afford Kevin Hart. These are the NBA awards here. But I don't know. Am I opposed to the idea of doing award shows for sports? Why not? Every other industry jerks itself off. Why not throw the NBA in there? If ever there was an industry that jerks itself off, it's professional sports too. But yeah, so now I think that's what they're going to do for everything. Major League Baseball last year, I recall, or the last couple years. For some reason, I recall Jake Arrieta holding up like a Cy Young Award at a podium talking to someone. I think Major League Baseball did where they announced who was going to win and then had an award show anyway. So there was no real surprise. And this past year, I don't think they did one because I remember Chris Bryant being like at his home in Vegas with his dad on one side and his now wife on the other side, like thanking people for the award and everything. So maybe they didn't do one. It doesn't matter. I remember the HBO tried to do the Comedy Awards. Comedy Central tried to do awards for comedians. And every comedian went up there giving a speech going, this is stupid. What are we doing? We're comedians. We're supposed to make fun of this nonsense. And so it was really funny. I remember Seinfeld having a really, really good speech at the HBO once. But then they didn't keep doing it. Well, here's how insane comedians are, though. I remember watching it, being only a couple years into stand-up, going, I'd like to win one of those awards one day, even though I think it's a dumb thing. All right, so I don't like Chris Paul being with Houston because I wanted any move. I knew where Chris Paul was going to go. I wanted to be to a team that could maybe challenge Golden State. With Houston, I don't see it. They got swept, and they looked horrible that last game. James Harden was so bad that last game. I mean, he's always been a horrific defensive player, but he was so bad on offense. I think this is just a guy who shrinks from the big moment. I still blame him for OKC losing to Miami in that finals in 2011 or 2012. He was a joke. Everyone's like, oh, they got a big 3-2 in Oklahoma City, all the Miami Heat fans. I'm like, yeah, they were all drafted by a good player development and a good GM. They didn't have brunch together. I can't get over that enough. They had brunch together, those Miami Heat players, LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. That's the difference. Everyone brings up the Boston Celtics being a super team. They did not get together over, like, those were the big three free agents that year. LeBron being one, of course, Wade two, and Bosch three. Of that free agent class, they were the top three. They got together. They controlled so much. And normally I'd be like, I love the idea of players getting more power from the owners. Screw that. But what they did is they took power from the fans in a way. You know, it used to be loyalty to your team. You had that thing about it. And now I've just accepted it. That's what it is, the NBA super teams. So if we're going to super team it, let's do it right. Chris Paul, James Harden, so I don't see that as a super team there. I don't see, like, they got a few other nice players and some shooters. They got some good shooters there. So I could definitely see Chris Paul having some nice numbers, but I don't see that move being enough to get them past Golden State. I think they'll face Golden State in the playoffs again. Maybe they go five. They get lucky six. But it's not going to be a competitive series. You could have a six-game series that isn't competitive. Like, the one team is up, like, 3-1, and then the other team, like, squeaks out a win, 3-2, and then that fourth win, they win by 30. You know, one of those. I just don't see it. But San Antonio now. Now, if you went to San Antonio with Parker being old and looking at, like, you know, he's hurt last year, looking like he's going to wrap it up, Chris Paul would have been perfect in that situation. Paul, Leonard, Aldridge, I like that, even though Aldridge just was not very good at times last year. See, some guys like Aldridge when he was with Portland, Kevin Love in Minnesota, there are some guys who put up amazing numbers, then you later realize, well, yeah, because somebody has to get the rebounds. Somebody's good. This is an NBA team. Someone needs to put some points in the basket. And then you later realize, oh, this guy's not that good. Like, I was closely examining Kevin Love's numbers. They're better in some ways than people realize. He had a better year this last year and even a better playoffs than people give him credit for. Defensively, he still is slow around a pick and roll. So with a teammate like Golden State, he wasn't ideal. But he became an animal on the boards, though. He averaged, like, what, 14, 15 rebounds? He led the Cavs in rebounds. He looked great on that end. One game, I think he dropped, like, 22, 23 rebounds. Yeah, that was awesome. His numbers with Minnesota, I was looking back, he was 42% from the field a lot. And some people look at that and say, well, who else did he have? He had to chuck those shots. Like, what, Russell Westbrook had to chuck those shots. But you know what? Efficiency does go a long way. I get it when there's no one else, and it's like, all right, well, I have to shoot 35 times because we need something. That's how Michael Jordan was when he first came in and was averaging 37 a game. He was shooting a ton, but he was shooting 50%, 52%. Look at Jordan's 80s numbers. It was 52, 53, 54% consistently, averaging over 30 a game. I know I talked about this 2 weeks ago, but I still can't get over that stat. Jordan's second full season, his third season, but his second full season because his second season only played like 17 games, 18 games. And was limited. They really limited his minutes because they didn't even want him coming back after the injury. He's playing like 7 minutes a half. That's how tight his minutes were. So I don't even count that year, even though in the playoffs he dropped 63. That second full season when he scored 37.1 a game, that was 9 points more than the next closest guy. That's remarkable. God, I love stats like that. So yeah, I don't like Chris Paul going to Houston. But now if you're the Clippers, they brought in Jerry West. Maybe they sense this. Jerry West is a guy who could really rebuild a team from the ground up pretty quickly. obviously a genius when it comes to that. I could see him selling off assets, just getting draft picks. Maybe Blake Griffin, maybe he'll hit up Boston, flirt with them a little bit, say, hey, what do you got? You want Blake? You know, Blake will dunk for you. He's still a good dunker. DeAndre Jordan, maybe they'll find a home for him. I don't know. It's all working out money and everything like that, because I think the Clippers are at the point where they should just blow everything up as well. See, that's the problem. You're going to have 28 teams rebuilding every year, waiting out these super teams. The NBA screwed the pooch. They screwed the pooch. All right, I'm another 15 minutes in. Because it's just me doing it solo this week, I wanted to just kind of keep it tight for you. Wanted to at least Bryce Harper to the Cubs in a couple years, or Bryce Harper wanting to sign with the Cubs. Sounds like an interesting thing. I would take him. I used to kind of think he was like a little bit of a coiffed hair punk. Or coif. Was it coif? What'd you call that? Like a coif? It's like a real, you know, a pompadour. No, that's not a pompadour, but you know what I'm talking about. Looks like a Johnny Bravo type of dude. I always thought he was one of those guys, one of those bros. And I'm like, eh. But can't deny those numbers, even though he's still so young. He's a year younger than Bryant. So he's 24, won an MVP already, having an MVP caliber season again. I think he's third in WAR in the NL. Last year, he really kind of fell off from the monster year two seasons ago. I think a 438 on base percentage. Hot damn, that kid lived on base. All right, did I want to talk about McGregor Mayweather again? Not really. I mean, I'm going to get to it. I'm going to sprinkle it in throughout. I know month of August is at the end of August. Going through is going to be really fun. There's some cool promos out for right now, stuff that'll get you jazzed. I get annoyed with the boxing fans who are really acting like UFC fighters are just acting like boxing is so much tougher. It's not tougher. UFC is tougher. I really think Conor's such a genius for orchestrating this. He's the one, he set his sights on this. I almost think he thought, I need a massive payday. He might be a guy, look, he's got a baby now. I get it, you know. His son's younger than mine. He's got like a 2 or 3 month old boy. He might have went into this knowing, hey, I'm a businessman. I'm too smart for this. Not to knock other UFC fighters, but he's kind of like realized, I've made so much money. I don't want to keep getting my head bashed in. Even though he's the champ, how long is this going to last? There's been a lot of UFC fighters who, when they get out of their prime, it gets real sad. Google Chuck Liddell. I read Chuck Liddell's Wikipedia, The Iceman, not that long ago. He shit himself in the ring because he couldn't control his body function. I mean, he was just bad. He was just sad. I couldn't even believe they even legally let him fight those last few fights. And so Conor probably knows that. He knows the history of that stuff. He's probably like, you know what? Who can I make the biggest payday off of? Because UFC, his earning potential was limited. He was their big earner. And he was even saying after he knocked out Alvarez, look, I need a piece. I need a piece of this company now. So off of this, it sounds like he'll probably go back to MMA in December, defend the 155 belt. Who knows who he'll fight? Maybe he'll fight the Russian in Russia. People really like that idea. Habib. Nate, him and Nate 3, I don't know. I think he's kind of at the point, Conor, where he's like, no, Nate, you got to fight someone else again. I've fought you again, beat you, beat Alvarez. And a lot of people didn't think he would beat Alvarez, but he fucked him up good. My favorite was in that post-interview where Alvarez was just like, yeah, I don't know what hit me. They were like, are you surprised how hard he hits? He's like, I mean, I knew he hit hard, but it was the speed and the accuracy. It was kind of like, I'm looking at him, and then all of a sudden I'm on my butt. I didn't quite know what happened. For another fighter to admit that, I really kind of dug. That's what I like about the MMA UFC guys. I really feel like when they do get their ass kicked, when they take it, they'll let you know. They'll be like, hey, yeah, he did. I mean, I got fucking clocked. So you got to give him some credit for that, those dudes. So he looked at Mayweather and thought, all right, if I could drag this guy out of retirement, do a little cross promotion thing, UFC boxing. People have been kind of going at it a little bit there. Boxing fans, the hardcore ones, kind of feel their sports slipping away from him. UFC has been way more popular. More people are coming to the UFC. McGregor's the biggest fighter in the world, biggest draw. So Money Mayweather, he's all about the money, and he's thinking, I could take care of this guy. He's not a professional boxer. And McGregor's probably thinking, all right, I'm going to train. I'm going to try to knock him out. But if I don't lose face, all my diehard fans are going to be like, well, hey, at least he had the balls to step in. That guy will take a fight anywhere, anybody. Mayweather's maybe the greatest boxer of all time. definitely the greatest defensive boxer of all time. There's no like way to lose. Mayweather's not a knockout artist. So I don't think McGregor's even worried about getting injured. He doesn't have to worry about kicks, doesn't have to worry about getting chokes. I think it's just such a genius move. So yeah, I'm going to break it down a little bit more. Try to get a couple comedian fans or comedians who are big UFC fans on here. Talk it over. But all you, it's so funny seeing like YouTube comments. Why do I read the YouTube comments? Of people just being like, dude, that Irish punk's going to get, oh, Mayweather's going to fuck him up. He's going to get knocked out. All this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. And there are some people who just never get that. I used to be like that. I used to be such a diehard sports fan where I'd look at athletes and be like, how do you not care about certain things? And then you realize, because you only have one life. After they retire, how else is the money going to come in? There's always someone who's like, well, they could go back to college. Really? I know some of them do, and that's great, but live that lifestyle for 15 years. Then the well dries up. You make some adjustments. You make some investments. Sure, I'm sure there's a bunch of offensive guards in football who have car dealerships, and sell some autograph money, but it's not the same. And then you really struggle. You struggle mentally. You got to figure out how to get that fire again, where to find my passion. I think McGregor might be looking beyond all that. I think I wouldn't be surprised. He's 28. He takes this big payday, tells the UFC on his next fight for UFC, the one that I think they'll probably have in December or January, I need a piece. I need more than just a big back end. I need a piece. Give me a piece of the company or I'm not fighting anymore. Maybe he does one more, goes out a champion, and then does his own thing. I don't know what he'd do from there. Maybe he starts his own promotions. Maybe he's a guy like Mayweather will just come out and fight here and there every so often. But I don't know. I don't even know if he does that. I don't know what his next move is. He might just be a guy that just disappears. As hard as that is to believe because he's such a shit talker. He might just go build the biggest castle in Ireland and just, pound Guinness and make up for the last 4 or 5 years of training like an animal. I don't know. My hat's off to him. I'm a big fan of him. I realized I used to be against trash talk when I was like playing sports as a high school kid in grade school, being like, oh, it looks better when they just hand the ball to the ref and don't celebrate and don't dance. No, have fun. Have fun. Get out there. Enjoy it. It's a performance. It's entertainment. All right, what else could I mention with you? Professional baseball right now, there's a lot of exciting things going on. All-Star Game is wrapping up soon. That Home Run Derby, I would like to see. I mean, the Home Run Derby sometimes can be pretty boring, but if it's Stanton versus Judge with those juice balls, that's a show I want to see. That is a show I want to see. No, I'm not going to talk any NFL. It's too far off. Still, we're not even in July yet. I always get annoyed when the NFL tries to shove itself down your throat in summer months. Oh, Jimmy Butler. I got to talk about this. This is NBA talk, more NBA talk. So I mentioned how the other 28 teams, 27 teams are going to be rebuilding because there's only two or three teams that have a shot every year. And I don't think Chris Paul's not enough for Houston. I don't know. If they swindle in Paul George, sure. And then if Paul George and Hayward go to Boston, that'll be a super team that I think could take down the Cavs. But I still don't know if it's enough for Golden State. I think we're just going to suck it up and deal with this Golden State run. And anyway, moving on to my Bulls. They traded Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he's reuniting with Tom Thibodeau, who there were rumors that he'd even like because he didn't play him much his rookie year. So I don't know about that. I remember people like, oh, that's good. They love each other. I don't know. Who knows? But that, of course, helps Minnesota big time. They get rid of Zach LaVine. And why am I blanking on his name? It's not Carr. What is his name again? It's Dunn. I was thinking Carr. I don't really think of Carr. Dunn. Oh, the Raiders extended Carr, and I was scrolling through, and that's how I saw that. Okay. That's a good move by them. I like that quarterback. We got Dunn, LaVine. We drafted Markkanen. And I don't even like the draft of Markkanen, but I'll keep that aside. We'll get to Laurie at another date. It's pretty much universally agreed that the Bulls traded him. I think I saw the quote saying pennies on the dollar they got for Jimmy Butler. Well, I just don't get LaVine is coming off an ACL thing. Do we really want to mess with someone's knee? And I know doctors are great now and all that, but like, look, didn't we deal enough with the bad knees with Rose and everything like that? Dunn was a rookie who didn't have a very good rookie year, although Paxson and Gar Forman have liked him for a little bit. Thibodeau doesn't play rookies a lot. I don't know. Maybe he flourishes under a different system. It's not. you got to get Wiggins back in that deal. But I can understand Minnesota not wanting to get rid of Wiggins. Wiggins is what, 23, 24 points a game? A big wing, 6'8", 220. I get wanting to keep him and even wanting to pair him with Butler. They give you a lot of size. It's a great front court right there. Or back court, I should say. I just don't – was there not a better deal out there? I don't – this has got to be their last year, Pax and Foreman. But knowing Reinsdorf's weird loyalty, maybe they let them see this rebuild through, even though they should have been rebuilding for a while now. They still have Dwayne Wade on the books. They don't seem like they're going to buy him out, which I don't blame them for that. Keep him around for ticket sales, I guess, and then you could always cut him halfway in the season or trade him for someone when there's no money left on the deal, whatever. So that I'm not even that – it's fine. I'm okay with the rebuild. I don't want people thinking, would you want them to keep Butler for no reason? We're the eighth seed even with him. You know, I get that. I don't see us being more of a 7 or 6 seed at our best with the talent that we have. 6 seed's pushing it. We're 7 or 8, and that's in the East, which is bad. So that means in the West you're like a 12 seed, which I know that seeds don't go that high. I just think if you're gonna rebuild, you got to do it right. He was our only asset. He was our best asset. At least get the 7 and the keep your 16 pick. Why swap those picks? It just didn't make sense. I'd be hard-pressed to find someone who thinks the Bulls got the better of this trade. And I know in basketball it's really tough to win the trade, but you got to stockpile some assets here. Maybe I've just been spoiled with how good Theo Epstein was with trades. I mean, we got another all-star. We got an all-star in Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, who I don't think is playing again. I think he's injured or he just was having a bad year. It's a great trade. 4 years of Jorge Soler's contract for 1 year of $10 million of Wade Davis, I think is amazing. I would like to see the Cubs extend Davis. He's going to be an all-star for the third year in a row. He's just one of those close. I have more confidence in him than Chapman with his 105-mile-an-hour fastball. I know Wade Davis, he's got a sexy cutter. He's more reliable. I just feel like he's getting more control of the situation. He's not just a guy where I'm like, all right, well, he's just going to have to throw it as hard as he can and just keep chucking it because he's not pinpointing anything. I think he could pitch. I like a guy who could pitch. Everyone always just wants that guy who could light up the gun at the end of the ninth. But no, give me a guy who could pitch. I'm much more, you know, but also has stuff. Let's not act like Wade Davis is Joe Borowski out there. He throws 96, 97. He could get it up there too. All right, that's going to be the podcast. Sorry it was so weird and dynamic. I recorded it two different times, once at midnight in my car, now in the basement. At around 5:54 Chicago time. I'm going to try to upload this immediately, so hopefully you're listening to it about 7 o'clock Central Time here in Chicago area. East Coast guys, you're 8 o'clock, but, you know, check it out over the next few days. I'll be back Monday with a guest, and we'll go further into this kind of stuff. I'll try to really recap baseball. I know last year I did a weekly recap of Major League Baseball. We'll talk about the NHL draft. I didn't even get into that. The Blackhawks made some moves I like, as well as some other shakeups around the league. TJ Oshie has a new home. A few other dudes I got to talk about. The Golden Knights, too. What a stupid name. The Las Vegas Golden Knights. I don't like that name. It is the Golden Knights, right? I'm not screwing that up. Let me double check here. I don't think it is the Golden Knights. I think I'm too busy thinking about the Warriors. No, it's the Golden Knights. The logo's not bad, actually. Vegas Golden Knights. Why not just the Vegas Knights? It's just spelled Knights the regular way, like Knights, not like a night. Because that'd be like playing up the whole Vegas. You know, we like to live at night. What happens here stays here, which is really just a gross thing at this point to even say. Okay, that's been the podcast. Thank you for everyone checking out. Tell your friends. This has been Comedians Talking Sports.